today on Real Radio.
Bring every thought into captivity. Is this glorifying to God? Does this honor God in your world culture? What you're being assaulted, what you're being told to believe, what you're being told to do, what you're being told to tolerate, you must do this. What if it's an offense to God?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series that focuses on the opening verses of chapter 10, one of the many times that Paul uses military analogies to illustrate to the true believer that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his multi-part series called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics.
Isn't it interesting that a lot of them are reverends? Think of it. Interesting. But you know what's cool about these things? Socialism and atheism, they can't compete against biblical Christianity, the Bible. Amen. That's why they yell and scream so much, because they don't have an argument. Anytime somebody attacks you and they depart from the issue and then attack you personally, please know this. Listen, if you're a student in school, you got to get this. If at any time in debate someone attacks you personally instead of the issue, they've lost the battle, they know it, and so they can't defend on merits, they have to attack on personal fronts. Don't ever forget this. This is fundamental basic. Here's the great thing about biblical Christianity. It's not afraid of socialism. It's not afraid of atheism. Why? Because it can stand its ground. Isn't it amazing that as a Christian, you can argue the truth of biblical Christianity without attacking the atheist personally? You don't have to attack the socialist personally. And then the next thing regarding arguments that come from outside to assault us is evolution. Evolution demands that we not talk about the Creator God concept and it be outlawed. Think of it. Why not open up the forum and have a great debate on the issues? Why not work it out? Why not match science, real science, against the claims? You can't do that in the public square or in the areas of education, because the concept of God, which makes total sense, flies in the face of the evolutionary religion, I might add. Think of it. Against the knowledge of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, there are those who know about God, but they reinvent everything and actually sequester the knowledge of God. A great warning. The fourth thing that we look at under this argument is only divine protection can save us against inward temptations. Now, this is very practical. This is, I think, fun. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I think I told you guys last time together, this verse, verse 5, listen, back in 1877 when I got saved, there was, all we had was our Bibles and Xerox copy machines. And I'd make photocopies of that verse, and I would put it everywhere in my car. I'd put it in my apartment, or my bedroom. I'd put it everywhere. I put it everywhere. This verse, it's possible that this verse has been the most practical verse in my life from the Bible. Great freedom and liberty here. Because you may be somebody who's just constantly pulled and tugged and yanked by your thoughts that lead you into, I don't know, peril, difficulty, sin, even, whatever. But listen, temptation's going to come and go. Do you guys understand that? Temptation is not a sin. That's what, Satan's a really great devil. That's what he does. He just launches temptations at you all day long. You're not sinning when you're tempted. You only sin after you receive the temptation and start playing with it. You say, yeah, but what if I never do it? Jesus made it very clear on that. All you got to do is, Oh, hmm. Wow. Oh, well, it's a good thing I didn't do that. Jesus said, no, God just saw the theater show in your head. He already saw it. The pretending, the fantasizing of that. He's got it. God looks at the heart. But there's a battle when it comes. Yesterday, I was picking up Lisa from a store, and I was driving in my lane. I was in my lane. And I looked ahead, and there's a guy coming down the road in both lanes. The middle of his car is on the middle of the line. And so people are honking and honking, and it was very amazing because as now he bottles up the roadway, and he has a family in his car. I could see people in their cars looking at him, and I could tell you, I could read the words on their lips. But I got to tell you, first arrow shot at me was this. Satan goes, okay, I'm going to shoot an arrow of whatever this is. My thought was, what a dope! Right? Now you might say, well, the guy's a dope. Yeah, I know, but you know what? That's not what I'm supposed to be thinking about the guy. Listen, if you live in Southern California, which you do, we have the opportunity to become super saints around here. Because if you drive the freeways, you got a whole lot of them to work your spiritual growth out on. 405, 515, 215, 91, 71, 605, the 4, the 2, the 142. Right? Unbelievable. But these things rise up in our mind. This thought comes up. Watch, isn't it amazing? Now look, here's, everybody listen. If you're a Christian, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're not a Christian and you're just religious, you won't get this. So let this be a good test. The Holy Spirit lives inside every believer. And he detects things before they hit. So when a thought is coming, when that dart is being launched at you, there's this bizarre sense on the inside, I need to fight. Whoop, I need to fight. You don't even see this thing. It's whoa. And it stops. The temptation is on the porch. It didn't get in the house. It's on your porch of your mind. And you are, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I rebuke that attack. I rebuke that thought. Lord, you drive that far from me in Jesus' name. Lord, that's not good. And it dies off. It's like a propelled grenade. It only has enough power for a little bit, and then it falls. Are you with me? That's how the enemy launches. The Christian is going, yep, I know this, uh-huh. And boom, boom, boom. That's why this verse warns us when it says bringing every thought. The word bringing is every thought. Watch. It implies that you're like this. Now, look, I need you to look at me. The sillier I look, the more you'll remember this illustration. So here we go. It means to be like this regarding thoughts. Even though you're walking around, you could be laying on the beach surfing, you could be asleep, whatever. You're like this in the spirit. That's how we're to be as Christians, in the spirit. Being ready, like a trigger. For what? A thought. And you grab it. Thought, don't know, not good then. If I don't know, it's not good. I'll put it over here. Next thought, whoa, that's good. Jesus, he's cool with that. Oh, not good, not good, not good. If you don't do that, you go like this. Wow. Well, maybe I shouldn't be thinking of that. Are you with me? So here's the deal. Here's the deal. When things come, here's the simple little rule. If you can't say, hey, Jesus, check this out. Hey, Jesus, check this out. Just take a look in there. Go ahead. What do you think? If you can't do that about what's going on in your life, it's probably not a good thing. And you're to run from that thing. Every thought, bring ready, every thought. Notice it didn't say, be ready to bring every bad thought. It's every thought, process. And the more you do this, church, the more you take these fastballs from Satan, okay, and from this world and from the demands of your flesh, because our flesh is wicked. You know that? This, look at me. Wicked. Right here. Why? Because, let's see this. That's good. This flesh wants stuff. Did you know that? Look, if I have to tell you about that, you got something really wrong. This flesh wants to sleep in. My flesh didn't want to go to church today. I had to say, you're going to church. Think about it. I don't want to do anything. I only want to do what's fun for this flesh. That's what my flesh wants. If my flesh was left alone, oh my goodness. But now as a Christian, it's, listen, you carcass, you're coming with me. That's the battle of being in this life as a Christian. Bring every thought into captivity, prison, imprison the thoughts. Is this glorifying to God? Does this honor God in your world culture? What you're being assaulted, what you're being told to believe, what you're being told to do, what you're being told to tolerate, you must do this. What if it's an offense to God? Did you hear me? What if it's an offense to God? This is critical. So here's the big test. Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. In a moment, don't read ahead. In a moment, you're going to feel, you will literally feel, if you're a Christian, you will literally feel the assault of how much the world has launched its attack against your logic and your reason, your computations. Are you with me, everybody? Put the verse up on the screen. This is pure Bible. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. You see that? The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, isn't this beautiful, Christian? You know this. These two forces are constantly, what? They're at war. They're fighting against each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Verse 18. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses when you follow the desires of your sinful nature. The results are very clear. What are they? Mark this down. Now watch this, church, watch. This is the Bible. Forget about the 21st century user-friendly version of man-made Christianity. Are you with me? Now listen, some of you are freaking out over the first statement right there. Because you have been so infiltrated. This, see how real this warfare is? It bothers your thinking already. You are being tempted to compromise because your fear is that you'll be labeled something or marked something. Somehow the things that God believes in are okay for God to believe in them. But as a 21st century Christian, I'll pick and choose what I believe in. That, ladies and gentlemen, is deception. You cannot be a recreational Christian. Sexual immorality. The word in the Greek is porneia. What is that? It's exactly what you think it is. All sexual impurity. All of it. There's a list of it in the Bible. Sexual impurity. Porneia. Isn't it interesting? Porno. Porn. Pornography. Porn. But what of it? What is under that word? The Bible says bestiality. Sodomy. The Bible says adultery, fornication, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality. All of it's listed in the Bible. And listen, the culture puts pressure on you right now, you and your feelings. You've got to decide right now. Do you see how much we're at war? This is what God says. And you are now having to decide to follow God or not follow God. All of a sudden, this is a real, actual event taking place in the sanctuary. You've got to choose. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry. Sorcery is an interesting word. Pharmakei, pharmaceutical. Hallucinogenic drug, drugs that cause mind-bending. You say, well, why is that a big deal? Good question. Because it opens you up to the demonic realm. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies is the word for wild parties, and other sins like these, let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that anyone living that sort of life or lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. That's the Bible. But you just experience the pressure in your mind to select some of these things, to make some of them theologically correct because they're politically correct. You see how much we're at war in the world system is against us. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Turn there in your Bibles. You're going to want to mark this up. Ephesians 6, 10. Just a little bit to the right. Ephesians 6, 10. You guys okay?
Yes.
Finally, my brethren, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Thank you, God. It's not me. In the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is this awesome? How do we fight against the devil? We're no match for him. Okay, it's true, but God gave us armor to wear. Watch this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly realms or heavenly places. Simply put, the Christian fights against invisible, freakish, ugly, mean, nasty, demonic powers, that if you saw them, you'd vomit. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having, number one, girded your waist with truth. Bible. Where do you get your truth? Doctrine. Bible. Put on, this is cool, the first thing you put on is the belt that holds everything together. Truth. Number two, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Nice. Three, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Know how to share the gospel. It implies that you know it. How do you lead someone to Christ? By the way, all these are defensive implements thus far. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Wow, isn't that a great promise? And verse 17, another still yet implement of defense, take the helmet of salvation. And here is your one and only offensive weapon. Why? If you have this, you don't need anything else. How about a rocket launcher? Nope, you won't need it. How about a tank? Not going to need it. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Listen, the sword of the Spirit. Oh, and by the way, how do you then move out into battle? Verse 18 says, praying always. This is awesome. Everything else is to protect you. The sword is for advancing. The sword is for moving on. The sword, the Word of God. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus Christ returns in the second coming, he will open his mouth. And the Bible says that when he opens his mouth, the Word of God will come out, and it will be a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he will strike the nations. This doesn't mean he takes a sword and slaps everybody in the face with it. It means he speaks pure truth, and no one will be able to hide from absolute perfect truth. He knows all. He sees all. He speaks pure truth in his great coming. And then, this is quite a remarkable ending. Only divine protection can save us against coming evils. Against coming evils. There's a lot of people, in verse 6, there's a lot of people today that are very, very upset about what's happening in the world. The world's going crazy. The world's, it's gone nuts. Everything's falling right together, friends. It says, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does that mean? This is a great way to end. Against all coming evils, Christian, we are Christians. We've got armor on, and it's awesome. It's kind of dirty and dented. It's got some patchwork on it. I mean, we've got you know, it's like blood splattered here and all this kind of stuff because we've cut maybe a couple of demons' arms off or something. How cool is that? I think it's awesome. And then we've got this incredibly, this white-hot blazing sword in our hands. And it's wherever you move it, it's like a lightsaber with Darth Vader running. It's the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that we are to be faithful to the word and to the end. Jesus said in the book of Revelation to the church at Philadelphia, I commend you. You have not denied my word or my name. You've not mixed my name with other gods and said that everybody worships the same God. And you've not tampered with my word. You didn't take anything out of it. You didn't add anything to it. You just let it speak for itself. And we're to be like that, church, until the end. That is the moment you and I drop dead or the moment the Lord comes back for us. And here's what that word means. You, by your obedience to the Lord, not me, not the Pope, not some council, Jesus. By your obedience to Christ, in the end, that obedience, God will use your walk, your witness, as a punishing tool against unrighteousness. See, I don't get it. Yeah, you do. You know that little song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. Right? That's what Jesus is talking about. You let your light today, 21st century Christian, so shine in this dark world. You keep shining until the end. You keep shining until I call you home. And that shining light, shining at the office, shining at home, shining on campus, shining everywhere you go, not being fooled by the culture, faithful to my word, there'll be a day come when your obedience will punish the disobedience of an unbelieving world. How? What so? Are we going to spank them? No, it's the witness that disciplines an unbelieving world. Man, I hope you know Jesus today. I hope you know him. I hope you're walking with him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics, a multi-part series taken from chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. It's one of a number of passages that speak of the spiritual warfare in which the true believer finds himself on a daily basis. SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series by Pastor Jack is available on DVD. It's a four-disc set that goes by the same title, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. And here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's four DVD series. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write to us and ask for it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.